Good morning. Wow, that was so beautiful. That was amazing. Something about Baccalaureate Sunday, I don't know, the reality of you graduating and leaving seems to hit us. And I just want to thank you for the opportunity to, as a church, I want to thank you for honoring graduates, honoring the students that come through this school. Thank you for that, and thank you that you see them as the mission field. And it's important to send them out with our blessing. It is important that we do that. And I can honestly say, first of all, I looked up the word sabbatical. And sabbatical, the way they use it in Europe is slightly different from the way they use it in America. And in America, sabbatical means a church service with a message for the graduates, for the graduating class. So this is truly sabbatical Sunday. You are quite a class, and just when I thought that having a message for you would be easy to get, I had no idea that the process it would take me to hear a word for you, because it is sabbatical Sunday. And yesterday, at Life Was Good, I had that message early in the morning. It was good facing the day, and by the end of the day, God had upended everything. I'm going to share that story a little bit with you later, but I just pray, can we pray that the Lord touch you, and in touching you, share the blessing and let it extend to everyone in this sanctuary. Lord Jesus, I do thank you for this few moments, Lord, to be able to speak to a group of people that in deciding to follow you have come here. I ask now for the greatest blessing I can pray for, Lord, that your spirit would be upon them all the days of their life, that, Lord, they would love you and serve you and love their fellow men with the love of Christ that passes understanding. So, Lord Jesus, I just ask you now to bless and honor yourself by speaking a word to us that changes us, and we'll be grateful and we'll be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I don't know if you know this, but there's something common to every culture on the earth, and that is that most people of every culture dream at night at some point in their life, they dream about being able to fly. And that is universal in almost every culture. That exhilarating, euphoric sense of weightlessness where every pressure seems lifted off and you are flying through the air. And that release of daily pressures comes off, and everyone in every culture agrees that it represents a sense of freedom, represents that soaring through the skies of new perspective and that nothing binds us. And when we wake up from dreams where we could fly, whether with wings or without wings, there is that sense that was like one of the best moments ever. 1 week from now, you two, my friends, all your schoolwork will be over, and then graduation day. And you will burst forth from this sanctuary, and I believe flying into your world. And it's interesting that this is called a sanctuary, because birds live in a sanctuary. Things that fly live in a sanctuary. And I pray that you're going to leave soaring with this verse. And you can write it down or look at it later, but it is one verse for you, class of 2021. And it's Proverbs 10:22. Your verse, Proverbs 10:22. It may surprise you at the beginning. I'm believing the Lord to unpack it. Proverbs 10:22 in the King James says this: "The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. So what is this blessing that makes rich? And in making you rich, he adds no sorrow to it. Because I think we could all argue there are a lot of blessings from the Lord. There's a lot we could say, this is a blessing from the Lord. But when we have to restrict it to say that it makes us rich and he adds no sorrow to it, it may become a much more narrowed blessing from him when we put all the parameters around it. It narrows the field. So I'm going to say to you, I'm going to walk through this message, and we're going to start with looking at what it means to have no sorrow. We're going to journey what your journey at Summit was. Then we're going to take a nature walk, and then we're going to get to what this blessing is, all in a few minutes, just when you thought God didn't do miracles. Graduates, Christians, in Christ, and only because of Christ, the blessing of God is upon you, upon us all, enriching and encircling you. And to this blessing, he adds no sorrow. It is a pure blessing that I'm going to be talking about that is yours. A pure blessing. How is that? Because there is no bitterness in God's love. When he offers us love, there's no bitterness in it. He doesn't consider who we are and what we've done. There is no bitterness in his love. He doesn't keep a list of wrongs. When he goes to love us, he loves us and he covers us and he calls us his. And there is no bitterness. No matter, he could remember 1,000 things, 10,000 things in any given month. He chooses to love us and there is no bitterness in it. There is no sorrow because there is no stinginess in his mercy. There is no weakness in the shield that we are offered. When he offers us to live under a canopy of mercy, there's no hole in it. There's no gap in it. There is no weakness in it when he goes to offer us mercy. It is full and it is free. And it is ours because we belong to him. And there's no sorrow in the blessing he gives us because there's no impurities in his grace. As if when I do good, then I get good. No, this grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, which is the acronym, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. This grace is so full, so free, able to transform every situation. There is no sorrow in the blessing. What he offers us is not tainted, not corrupted, not limited, and never changes. I want to say you have done well to come. You have done well to come. You dedicated a portion of your life to seek him, to be able to form and then inform the rest of your life, that one life you've been given. To form and to inform the rest of your life, you have done well to come. And what did you do? What did your coming here look like, class of 2021? Well, when you came here, right from the start, you were unique. As along with the class of 2020, you were here in some ways only 1.5 years, academically speaking. You were only here for not a full traditional 2 years. Your half year from March to May last year, you were online, and you were the first ever class along with your graduating class to be online. For some of you, you might have directed teachers how to increase the volume on their screens. The teaching teachers teaching you, you were probably teaching them technology. For some of you, probably nationwide, you had to share your computers, your learning devices with other family members, also online. For some, and nationwide it's true, the public spaces, the noisy, distracting places had to become your classroom. But you did that. Then you came back, and when you returned, you had to wear masks. Initially here about 90% of the time in the classrooms, the lounges, between classes. And there was a specific prayer that went up, I know, for the staff when we were praying for you and saw you in mass. It was, Lord, as they come masked, would you unmask the enemy here in their midst? Would you show them through prayer that the accuser's voice when they hear it? Would you show them when they ask, what are deceptions? Would you show them, oh God, because you love them so much, would you unmask the enemy in the way that they need to see it while they sit masked before it? And he did that. You had to social distance And in keeping people at a distance, your prayer became, Lord, draw us closer to you and closer to each other at the same time. Don't ask me how that did that, but you know that's true. He did that. You also had to quarantine, which brings its own peculiar loneliness. And the prayer was, Lord Jesus, let me understand with you, I am never alone. Jesus, my ever-present Savior. And for many of you, he did that. And behind the mask, our identity, your identity, that unique, precious gift can feel hidden. Can feel hidden, you can feel unknown. But by the Holy Spirit, your identity in Christ, which is still being formed, which was still being formed regardless of the obstacles. I know so many of you, you have a clearer picture of your identity in Christ now than when you came. He did that for you. Jesus Christ is still giving you a hope and a future. And I have said this, but it's going to bear repeating because it's so amazing. I think the last chapel that I was with you in, I talked about where two ministers went to an NBA All-Star game. They sat up in the nosebleeds and they watched an amazing game. But as the two ministers left that game, they turned one to another and they said, we have just witnessed peak performance. We have just witnessed a highly agile, strength-filled group of people and very pretty to watch. But on that court, they have peaked and they will be entering a slow decline. But one minister turned to the other and said, but you, my friend, we are not at the point where we're as good as it ever is going to get. No, in Christ, every year we get better. Every year we get more useful. If we will walk with him, every year we will get more needed. If we will walk with him, every year there will be no peaking and plateauing. If we would walk honestly with him, we will go steadily upward, more loving, more kind, more skillful, more strength-filled. We have a hope and a future in Jesus Christ. We do not peak as others. We get better the older we get. You did well to come. The power and beauty of your salvation is evident in your song and in your faces. Which leads me, of course, to talk about seagulls. So, seagulls are one of my favorite animals on the planet. They are average, nondescript looking, your basic grays. They're gray, black, white. They live half their life in a season of storms. And, you know, I believe that God gets glory through his creation, and he can tell his story through creation, how spiritual principles work. So the seagull, this nondescript, very ordinary creature, they have a natural ability to survive storms. When the winds pick up, they can ride turbulence. Few birds are called soaring birds. Some of the soaring birds are an eagle, a hawk, and a seagull. They can stay aloft without constantly flapping their wings. The shape of their wings, the length of their wings, their bones are hollow. And in the presence of air currents, can lift them up without a constant work on their part. Seagulls can be suspended in air, defying physics laws. And the headwinds can be coming at them, and they don't drop from the sky. And it looks like they're not moving. Because the air currents from below, the presence of air currents below, keep them aloft, even though the headwinds are strong. And for some breathtaking minutes, and I've seen it, they look suspended between earth and sky, just there as a testament. Something so beautiful and seemingly supernatural is going on. Headwinds against them, before a storm, which they can sense. Seagulls can sense when a storm is coming because there's a different air pressure going on. And when that barometer drops and the air pressure drops, they sense a storm is coming. And when they do, they tend to gather in groups. And they are going the purpose of one finds food and then the other goes in the air. And the cry of a seagull, you may have heard it, it's shrill and it's piercing if you've ever heard a seagull. And I know Ezekiel has. And those seagulls, they begin to cry, a shriek, but they're going, it's here, it's here. There's food here, because they know a storm is coming, and they help each other, and they all gather, and they find that food. And it's like a table is spread before them, before the presence of that coming storm that wants to threaten them. They can gather, they can cry with each other, cry for each other, and they help each other find food. And they gather for the feast. And then they take shelter just before the storm hits. Some seagulls, however, have flown right through the hurricane walls in those high velocity winds, have been able, and you can Google this and you will see what I have seen. They fly through hurricane strength winds to the center of the storm, the eye of the storm, which is that calm center. And on radar, they have little red dots. If you look at the center of any hurricane and look on it, you'll see little red dots. That's seagulls that made it right through the storm weather to hit the eye of the storm. And they stay there till the raging winds deaden and die. And sometimes seagulls use hurricanes that can act as a slingshot that sends them forward at hyper speed ahead of the storm. And sometimes seagulls can be blown off course, like Hurricane Sandy, where they live on the Atlantic coast, and they got blown off in 2012 all the way to western Pennsylvania, and they still found their way back. They're designed by God to be storm riders and to survive storms. Now to everything I really want to say to you. So what is that blessing I'm talking about? The one that maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. Well, to answer that, I have to tell you a story. So yesterday I had a message, and I liked it. And I went throughout the day, and then I went to the sabbatical fellowship. It was good. We had good food. We had good fellowship. Of course, we played games. You know we did. Our brother Serge got up, though, and he gave something, just a little word that he wanted to share with us. And that word really was that our desire would actually be not for what God gives, but for God himself. Increasing our desire for God himself, not the stuff, but him. And I don't know why, but it was like that word laid so heavy, like not heavy, like hurtful heavy, but like heavy on my spirit. And but then we moved to dessert, and you eat and you play games. But we began just at the end of that to talk about when we'd seen the presence of God move in the sanctuary, where we've seen God supernaturally move in people's lives, where we felt his presence come down and it changed everything. And as we did that, my heart began to burn inside me, and I realized that I had witnessed truly a lot of that. I had actually in my lifetime seen a supernatural presence of God move in among people's lives, in the church, in the sanctuary, in so many places. And all of a sudden, this thing gripped me, and it's like, oh God, I don't want that to be my past. I don't want to be one of those people that can always tell about the great old story of 94 and 07. It just something, it made me so lonely, but it made me also like, this can't be passing in my life. I want something of that now. And we just went into Serge and Lesia's house, and we just, Pastor Carter prayed a prayer. It was an ordinary, I mean, it was a good prayer. Of course, it's always a good prayer. I prayed a poorer prayer. I could not stop crying. Either could most people in the room. I don't know what or how, but the presence of God moved in the room. The presence of God, it wasn't just a meeting about him and some, you know, good sentiments about him, but I don't know why, but he moved in. He moved in, and we were weeping. I can't describe it, because it was such an ordinary, great fellowship. And his presence moved in, and we were weeping and so moved to the point I was undone. I was undone. And I didn't know what to do except go home and say, wow. So I'm just going to preach a regular message to these people. If there is such thing as a regular message. So now, what is that blessing that maketh rich? And he adds no sorrow to it. Nothing can make us richer, beloved, than the presence of God that goes with us. If your, Moses said, if your presence does not go up with us, then don't lead us up from here. If your presence doesn't go with us, don't lead us out of this place. The only thing that sets us apart in our lives is the presence of God. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be all together. But if his presence is with us and leading us, we have it all. There is nothing richer than the presence of God in a person's life. The Old Testament Israel had this testimony that God among them, God is among them. God is among them. And it set them apart. People often remark on this campus, oh, I feel the presence of God here. Well, that's awesome. But I just want to ask you, what good is the presence on this campus if it doesn't go with us? What good is the presence of God when it's time to go, whether it's Sunday afternoon or graduation day? What good is it if he doesn't go with us? I hope that your sojourn here has increased your desire for God himself. And not just his promises, as awesome as they are, and not just his blessings because they are manifold, and not just his miracles because they still exist. Beloved, what you face at home, you will not make it without his presence. But with it, you will ride the storm. You will ride every storm. You were created for that. You were made in the image of God. And Christ in you makes you the storm rider. But let's not be content without his presence. Can we be bold enough to say, I don't want to leave here unless he goes with me? Can I say, beloved, keep seeking him all the days of your life and let him be the center of your life all the days. Don't let the busyness take it away. Don't let the organization take it away. Don't let the studying theology take it away. Keep seeking him because then your worship will stay pure and your service will stay steady. Jesus at the center of things, he will keep things simple. He will keep it simple. Your theology will stay simple. You know, theological systems have their place, of course, but they did not build your life. In God's transforming presence, you know, which has been here, which has been our portion at Summit, we humans still want to do the building thing. We want to put our hand to something. We always want to build. That's when Jesus was transfigured on the mount. And what were the disciples saying? Well, let's build a tent for Moses, some law, system of the law, and study it. Let's build a tent for Elijah, build some system and study it. But the Father broke through and said, referring to Jesus, hear him. Hear him and keep it simple. The Psalmist 27:8 said, when you said, seek ye my face, seek ye my face. What does that mean? It means require my presence as your greatest need. That's what that means. Require my presence as your greatest need. Because seeking his face means seeking his presence. Require that. Abraham got impatient for the promise and the son. And Jesus, the Lord spoke to him and says, I, Abraham, am your exceeding great reward. I am. Your exceeding great reward. Could we be bold enough to declare, I don't want to go without you? I don't want to leave today. Could you draw a line in the sand? And Lord Jesus, could I be bold enough to say, I don't want to go without you? That's the blessing that maketh rich. and he adds no sorrow to it. Because we'll be pushed back from that thought because it's like, I'm just an ordinary gray seagull. I'm nothing special. I'm not a Moses. I'm not one of the great ones. God, why would you send your presence with me? Why would you care? Because we were created to bear the presence of God. God gets glory when he goes with his people. You know, beloved, he says, I live in you. But can we live with him? Can we walk with him? We are the ones who add sorrow to this request. I don't want to leave here without you. We add the sorrow to it. We'll go, I don't know, that's too big. No, I'm a little afraid of that. I'm afraid of failure. I'm so unworthy. I'm so flawed. I'm such an ordinary seagull. But the enemy so fears us asking to walk with God and have his every day that acknowledgement, Lord Jesus, walk with me. He so fears that, that it's he who tries to put sorrow to our requests and fear. So, beloved, shut out shut out those small voices that come to you every day, those small voices of fear, those small voices of doubt. Shut out those constant small voices and listen to the still small voice that says, I am with you. And you can, I am with you. And don't be afraid to ask for my presence. That's what's going to set you apart. That's what's going to set you free. That's what's going to preach the gospel. That's what you and I, we have this amazing relationship. But I don't go unless you go. I don't want to leave this school without his presence. I don't want you to leave this school unless he goes with you. And it's possible. Don't be beaten back by this request. Don't be beaten back and say, it can't be me because, and give the litany and add sorrow to the blessing of the Lord that makes you rich above all people. It is for you, and it is for me. Storms are gathering, beloved. Storms are gathering. Seagulls can ride them. We can ride them because we have a presence of a lift in our life that will always lift us up and always take us to that place. We can ask for the blessing of his presence to go with us. I just want to assure you, you surely can, and I surely can. I'm going to remember there's no bitterness in his love. When I fail, it won't keep me away from asking for his presence. There is no weakness in his mercy. There's no gap where I don't get it today. There's no lessening of his grace, because when we need it the most, we have it the most. And so I say we be the boldest people on the planet. I say we be the boldest people on the planet. And saying seeking your face means I'm requiring that your presence is with me. That's not going to be an option. I can pray this bold prayer. And I want to make a very bold ending statement. If you will do that, everything you need to live the life you want will go with you. He will go with you. I pray that God help us to hear this and live this that will set us apart. He will never fail us, and it will be amazing. Class of 2021, this is the word of the Lord to you. And in hearing it, we have all heard it. Thank you for listening. I'm just going to ask the congregation to stand as the senior class remains seated. And I'm going to ask that we can stand and pray for this seated graduating class. And I want you to pray that blessing, that the Lord's presence go with them, that they leave this place determined that I don't go without you, Lord Jesus. I won't go. I will not take that step without you. And that reckoning that will come into their soul, they will realize there's no sorrow in this request. God will break through. I don't have to be afraid to ask it. I don't have to be afraid to ask it. And as we just believe God that that's going to come into their heart, I know there's a blessing for all of us. But I know you'll agree with the storms coming. Young people of this generation cannot make it any other way except he go with us, except he go with them. And if he does go with them, it will be amazing. They will be made rich in faith, rich in hope, rich in witness, rich in calling, rich in walking this earth as they want to. So, and I know the blessing will fall on all of us. If you will join with me in stretching forth your hand over this class. Lord Jesus, you've given us the power to bless. You've given us the power to bless. Because in our heart, oh God, we know you. And we know you are good. We know you are rich in mercy. We know your mercy endures forever. We know your love never fails. We know there is no bitterness in your love. You know, we know that you died for us. You gave yourself for us, that we could rise in this newness of believing, oh God, that we too can walk with you all the time. I will not go. I will not face this world except you go with me. And I thank you, oh God, that you've trained them for 2 years, oh God, to come to this point of this same cry. And I thank you, oh God, that we bless them in the name of Jesus. We ask you, oh God, to stir their hearts. We ask you every day there would be a reckoning of the truth that has been deposited in them. For Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And I thank you. It is your desire. You don't just live in us, but you want to live beside us and walk with us. So I just thank you for that. So bless every one of them. Let not one be lost. Let not one falter to the wayside. Let them return to their place, oh God, knowing that you go with them. And it will be a blessing that will make them rich. And there will be no sorrow in it. And they will be not backed up from asking it, but will know they will ask it. And God, you will answer that in your way, which will be amazing. I thank you. They are storm riders, oh God, that they have been designed to ride the storms of life, oh God, with your presence. And they will be a wonder to their generation. They will be a wonder to their families. They will be a wonder to they come in contact because you go with them. So bless them, oh God. You created them to be storm risers all the days of their life and to land safely in the arms of Christ. I thank you for this blessing. We thank you. You will keep it alive in their heart. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. We're going to stand and sing together a song that we're just going to declare as well as sing. Will you join us and join this class in singing the blessing?